Every once in a while in life, we get to meet somebody who seems to already know a great deal of what we believe in. Sometimes this person is able to express the thoughts and ideas so succinctly, it makes you just step back and say, wow, that's really right. On occasion, we may propose marriage to such a person and live happily ever after. But if the meeting should take place in a business capacity, this person more than likely would become a source of knowledge, inspiration, hope. Those are big words, useful knowledge in making business decisions and plans, inspiration to carry them forward and hope that the whole thing's going to work, are pretty big things. As luck would have it, I've met such a person this past year, and as luck would have it, he's this morning's speaker. So I thought I would just tell you a few things that you probably do know, and then tell you something that you probably didn't know. You probably know that he has written 6 books that are available through Amazon.com, and that he writes articles and essays and feature articles for over 20 different publications, including the Wall Street Journal, New Hampshire Sunday News, The Globe, Sales and Management Marketing Magazine. You may know that he has spoken internationally and locally for companies like Polaroid, Velcro, 9X. But what you didn't probably know is that when you came here this morning, you were going to get lucky. Not only is he going to share his knowledge and his message of inspiration and hope with us, but he's going to introduce a way for us to share it with a lot of those people that we know and work with. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Falvey.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things that I do for a living is I speak to the Fortune 500. And so the question that you might ask is, what on earth am I doing here this morning? And I'm asking the same question. I made the little mistake of calling Tony Frederick about a month ago because there was a water leak dripping from my pump in the cellar. And Tony has me trained that when there's water on the floor, you call him. So I called him and I said, you know, there must be packing or something. And he said, well, Jack, if you could take it off the top of the tank and bring it up to us, we'll call back one of our technicians from the Aswan High Dam and fix it for you. Tony's very accommodating. I said, wonderful, Tony. And then he said, by the way, Jack, he said, we lost our June speaker, and could you come and speak to the meeting for us? And I, what was I going to say? Yes. So my comptroller tells me I should not be happy to be here this morning. Normally at this time of year, I'm in Boca Raton with the President's Club of some major corporation. So if you will imagine that you were in Boca Raton, I will imagine I'm getting big bucks this morning. The objective of the meeting this morning is to share with you what the best salespeople in the world do that makes them so darn good, and how they're now adapting to the dot-com world. And then, as Paul pointed out, as an extra, we're launching our own dot-com company this morning. And you people, because you showed up, are part of the test market. And it's described for you on your table, and we have a lot of freebies and a lot of giveaways and a lot of things that'll be really neat for you. However, I also realize that there are some people that have to leave early. So what I've decided to do is take and condense the entire program down to 15 words. I'll give you the 15 words first, and then I'll go on to explain how it all comes together, but the 15 are really all you need. So on the center of all your tables, there's an index card. And if you would each take an index card, this will be all the notes you will need to pass the final examination. If you have the index card, all you want to do is write the 15 magic words in selling. This summarizes IBM's 2-year sales training program. They're Arthur Red Motley's words. He was the chairman emeritus of Parade Magazine. The 15 words. Know your customer. Know your product. See a lot of people. Ask all to buy. Know your product. Know your customer. See a lot of people. ask all to buy. And because we have a lot of engineers here, they like formulas, so I'll give you the secret formula to go with it. It's SW3/N. SW3/N. It stands for some will, some won't, so what? Next. Some will, some won't, so what? Next. All right. Because we're going to cover IBM's 2-year sales training program and bring it to the modern.com world, I realize that some of you here are not professional salespeople and really don't want to be. And that's fine. However, all of us have to sell every single day. And so the more you know about how professionals sell, the better you are at selling your children on wearing a sweater, your wife on allowing you to go play golf 3 times on the weekend, your boss on how to give you a raise, your subordinate on how to work without a raise. The selling skills that we all use every single day are absolutely identical. We all do about the same things. We apply them a little bit differently. Now, by the way, you're more than welcome to take notes. However, as a special treat, we've asked Tony to provide a sound system and a tape recording. So this presentation is being tape recorded, so be very careful of what you say, because I am being very careful of what I say. And then Espen will own the tape, and Tony is going to sell these things until you can get him into retirement. So I assume that during the summer you will get a bulletin saying this tape is available at some outlandish price, of which I get nothing, all right? This is a disastrous day, but we're doing our best, all right? Pray for me. All right, so now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to best get better in selling. What do they do? Now, let me tell you the difference between the dot-com world and selling on the Internet and selling face-to-face, and I'll give you a demonstration. I'd like to ask you to participate for just a moment. What are some of the things that you'd like to get from this presentation this morning? Bear in mind, I've gone out for 20-some-odd years and worked with the best salespeople in the world, worked with the best organizations, made these presentations, written and so on. So I've worked very hard. I teach sales management at UMass Boston and have since 1981. So you've got a certifiable expert. Now, I don't know everything, but I've got some fast answers for the things I don't know about, so I'll do my best. But what are some of the things that you'd like to find out from me this morning about the selling process? If this meeting is successful for you, what would you like to know from me? Anybody? Question? Staying focused on your goals. We'll cover it in the presentation, but one of the ways you stay focused on your goals is to write them down. And we have a little trick we'll show you how the best salespeople do that. Excellent. How about some others?
What's the difference
Between a mediocre salesperson and an outstanding salesperson? The outstanding salesperson works 3 times as hard. Working hard is working smart. They get up earlier. They make more calls. They're not necessarily smarter, they're not slicker, but the universal characteristic of the best salespeople in the world is they work harder than anybody else, harder than the competition, and harder than anybody else in their office, universally. Good question. How about some others? Come ahead. How does the good salesperson get past voicemail? Well, you don't get past it. When you discover it, you say, wow, I got voicemail. Am I going to tear this one up? So you hang up as soon as you hear voicemail. Now you say, I'm dealing with voicemail. So then you say, what am I going to say to this person on voicemail? Well, perhaps I'll have a 30-second presentation that will mirror how I sell things, and I'll ask for some activity. So then I will call back knowing I'm going to get voicemail, and I have my presentation written out in front of me, and I'm standing up, and I'm dynamic, and I deliver my message. Right? And then I say, and I'll be back to you with such and such. One professional salesperson, young lady in New York, we'll go to work at 6 a.m. in the morning and load everybody's voicemail with her messages before they got in. So the very first thing they heard in the morning when they checked their voicemail was her. And she said, I got 4 things I want to tell you this morning. Here are 3 of them, and I'll call you back with the other one later. All right. So it's a great way to get somebody's attention. Make the speech. Don't hem and haw. Good one. How about some others? Things you'd like to know about the selling process, about what the best salespeople do in the world. Oftentimes I'm asked, what about closing? How do you close a sale? How do the best people close a sale? Very simply, they ask a closing question. It's very hard to ask a closing question when there's consequences. Can we have a purchase order for that? Can we start this next Monday? Can we put this contract together? That's easy to say to you. It's incredibly difficult to say to the purchasing agent when you need this business so badly, very, very hard under stress. Now, if you want to see an example of closing techniques, I suggest you go out in the evening to a singles bar. And watch what happens. You watch the dynamic. Those that ask closing questions, those that have the courage to fail, all the closers are gone by 9:30 at night. All right? And everybody else sort of filters around hoping something good will happen, and it never does. And then if you stay a little bit later, all the closers are back again at 11:30. Right? So closing is asking closing questions. Any others? Anything else? I know there's the difference in the dot-com world. You could bring up things, ask questions, there's an interaction. Now I can find out what it is you might be looking for. So if I know what you're looking for, what makes the best salespeople really good? How do you stay focused? Now I can focus on what you want. You don't have to go through my menu. I'll make this fit you. So the salesperson takes what they have and listens to what's going on and asks a lot of questions. The questions I asked you, what would you like to get out of this thing? Having an expert here, what do you want to learn about the selling process? Those questions are what make the sale, not the presentations. So the best salespeople in the world ask the best questions. They don't make the best presentations. Salespeople help people buy things that are good for them. And they get rich because of that. And they're good. And they make the numbers happen for companies. The accountants sponsor this thing. I love accountants. Salespeople provide the top line from which all the other lines come down from them. So Red Motley said, nothing happens till somebody sells something. So how do you build that top line? Well, let me share with you how the best people in the world do it. And there's no secrets to it. We'll cover it in detail. It'll be in your notes. We'll leave nothing out. There's nothing to buy. We'll give you the entire program, and we'll be out of here well before 9 o'clock. Okay? Hang on to your hats. How do the best people learn to sell? What do they do to make themselves so good? Why are they different? Well, yes, they do work hard. Yes, they do ask questions. But let me ask you to participate in just a little demonstration, if you will, a little exercise, a practical exercise. And if you will stay with me for about 2 or 3 minutes, I'll show you how that exercise, that application, that analogy applies back into how professionals build their skills. So I'd like to use a little tennis analogy. We're right between the French and Wimbledon. It's on television. You'll learn a lot. Also, I'll help you out with your tennis game. How many people here have ever played tennis, by the way? Okay, so we got a good audience. All right. What I'd like to do is give you a little tennis lesson. So could I ask you all please to stand up? Now, if you would shake hands with the person next to you and hold on to that handshake. All right, now look down at the handshake and you'll notice your thumb and forefinger form a V. That's the Eastern forehand grip. Can everybody see their own Eastern forehand grip? All right, those of you who would like to remain holding hands may do so. All right. Now if everybody else would face me, put the Eastern forehand grip directly out in front of them. Spread your feet comfortably apart. This is the ready position, and in between each shot in tennis, you want to try and return to the ready position so you can move rapidly to left or right. If you watch the pros, the ready position is what they assume when they're getting ready to return serve. Now, they have a little trick. They get up on the balls of their feet, and as their opponent throws the ball up, they will bounce. So try the bounce. All right? So now, you have the Eastern forehand grip, the ready position, and the bounce. Can I ask you, are you learning how to play tennis in this room? No, you may sit down. You've been very patient. What are some of the things that are preventing you from learning how to play tennis in this room? No tennis balls. No racket. No, somebody over here said they don't want to learn how to play tennis. Right? No opponent. All right. Now, how do you learn to play tennis if you can't learn in this room? Anybody? Get on the tennis court. Play. How else? Take a lesson. How many people here have ever taken a lesson? Okay. For those of you who haven't, it's a wondrous experience. Tennis pro comes out, has a 22-inch waist, tanned, in white. Says, let's hit a few. They got a big basket of balls, all right? You stand on one side of the court, they stand on the other, and the balls come to you 3 feet, 6 inches to your right, and they bounce waist high, slowly. And you hit them back. And the pro says, drop the head of the racket, try a little topspin. And then after you do this a little bit, the pro says, now let's see the backhand, and the ball comes to you 3 feet, 6 inches to your left, a foot further in front of you, and bounces waist high, and you hit the backhands back. Then the pro makes you run a little bit, so you have some sweat, and then the lesson's over, and they ask you to help pick up the tennis balls. Now, for those of you who have taken a lesson, what happens when you go out to play after you've taken a tennis lesson? Anybody? The ball doesn't come there. It goes right by your ear. It goes into the corner. Now, what's the matter? Have you been ripped off? No. You must understand the basics, right? And once you understand the basics, then the trick is application and then play, right? So then it's constantly playing. Well, the same thing is true in selling. It takes about 15 minutes to understand the basics. It takes you the rest of your life to be able to do it. Somebody says, how long does it take to learn how to play tennis? Somebody said, forever. Right? But actually, if you're of average athletic ability, play twice a week, takes about 3 years. And so when you see these people doing this, it's fascinating to see the motor skills. When the fitness boom began in the early 60s, tennis was the first sport, and they built all these tennis facilities. And many people went bankrupt, lost a lot of money, because tennis takes a lot longer to learn than you might imagine. And they were then converted into racquetball clubs, shorter learning curve. And then health centers. I did a thing for the International Racquet Sports Association. I said, what's the next sport? They said, we don't care, we'll be there. I thought, also it was very interesting because I spoke to their convention in New Orleans for big bucks. And I gave this little tennis lesson. And there were 600 in the audience, but 50 people in the audience had played at Wimbledon. I was as nervous as you could possibly be. But no one came up afterwards and said, you know, that's not the Eastern forehand grip, that's inaccurate, that's all good information. Problem is, it's useless. Because you've got to be able to do it on the court. You've got to be able to make it work for you with your skills and ability. A number of years ago, I was down at Innisbrook in Florida. Innisbrook is one of Paul's favorite golf courses. There's 180 holes in Innisbrook, 7,000 rooms, it's gigantic, all right? So I went down there and met this guy, Howdy Lessering. But how I met him was that I took and did the presentation in the morning. These presentations are fun to do. You fly down the night before. You do the opening, 9 o'clock in the morning. You're all done by 10 o'clock, so you've got a month's pay, and you've got a first-class air ticket. And if it's nice, the weather's good, you stick around a little bit. And if not, you're home for dinner. So this is a fun business when it works well. Now, what happened was is it was nice. It was February, all right? They said, afternoon is recreation, deep sea fishing, golf, tennis, and so on. I said, tennis. Went down after lunch to the courts, about 20 of us. The pro, Howdy Lessering, said, I'd like to give you a 3-minute tennis clinic before you go out to play. I thought, what on earth can this guy do in 3 minutes that will be any value to me? I've played this game all my life. He said, I'd like, oh, I'll get on one side of the court. He got on the other. He said, now what I want you to do is draw two imaginary lines across the court, and I want you to divide it into three sections so it looks like this. Then he said, any ball that's hit to you in the back third of the court, he said, that's the defensive zone. Once you hit that back defensively, hit the ball high over the net. Try not to put up a cripple. Don't be aggressive in the back third of the court. Just get the darn thing back. Right? Then he said, any ball that's hit you in zone number two, he said, that's the offensive zone. Once you hit it harder, hit it deeper, try and hit an approach shot. Be very aggressive with a short ball. Then he said, any ball that's hit to you in zone number three, he said, that's the kill zone. I want you to go for that one. I want you to hit the ball as hard as you can. Try and hit a winner. Try and hit a line. Try and hit your opponent. Do anything you can to win on that shot. Just don't patty cake it back. Put it away. He said, thank you very much. Go out and play. That was it. For those of you who play tennis, this works. All right? And you can watch it at Wimbledon. They'll show you how to do this. Occasionally, they'll violate one of these principles when they get driven into a corner or something. But other than that, fundamentals, they work. And the geometry is with you. This worked for us for about 15 minutes. What do you suppose happened at the end of 15 minutes? Why did it stop working? Anybody? Back to the old habits. We forgot. It's fun hitting the ball a ton from way back in the court. Try and hit a winner while you're running, you know. So after this thing was over, I thought to myself, this is really neat stuff. I don't want to lose this. So I took my tennis racket and I took a magic marker. It's a white tennis racket, and I wrote on the throat of the racket, defense, offense, kill. There's nothing in the rules of tennis that say you can't have writing on the racket. It's ethical, it's legal, okay? And it keeps you focused, all right? So then, what happened was I made one mistake, get it in Magic Marker, and it rubbed off. So a few months later, I thought, damn, I lost that idea again. I lost my focus. So to refocus, I had a little pressure-sensitive label printed right here. It says defense, offense, kill. So every time I go out to play, there it is on the throat of my racket. And it says, don't make so many silly mistakes. Now, it doesn't make me run any faster. It won't help my high backhand. But with the skill level that I have, it allows me to make fewer silly mistakes. And it's fundamentally sound. So, if you get nothing else out of this meeting here this morning, if you will see me or see Jim Blake or Paul Donahue at the close of the meeting, they will have stickers for your tennis rackets, along with a summary of the entire presentation, all printed on the back of our new business card. And they're peel-off stickers. All right, now how does this relate to how we build these selling skills? Let me show you. Because adult learning works exactly the same way. In every company that I work with, they do it all the same way. The sales training process works this way. You become a student of your customer's business. What are they doing? What makes them good? What are they most proud of? And how can I help them be better at what they do and good and more proud? But I got to find out what that is. So how do you do that? You don't take any lessons. You don't read in a book. You go ask them. You say, what do you do best? Why are you so good? What makes you so good in the marketplace? Why are you a winner? They'll tell you. And then your job is to figure out, what is the application of my product or service that works in that environment? If it does. If it doesn't, get out of there. You got a lot of running to do. You got to find somebody. Selling is easy. Finding somebody who wants to buy is what's hard. So I don't teach overcoming objections. I mean, I know how to do it, but it's far better to run. You know, fight or flight? Flight. Keep moving. The more calls you make, the more likely you are to run into a winner. Okay, but the application of your product or service is critical. So how do you find out how the applications work? From the engineers? Wrong. From your existing customers? Why on earth would you do business with us? What makes us so good? Well, we do it this way, with your product. Aha! So then you go into the company and say, George over here uses our product this way. That's called third-party testimony. They said. All right? And then last but not least, you can only learn these things face-to-face with your customers on the court. You can't be taught them. Overhead projector won't give it to you. You can't take lessons. So therefore, every sales call becomes a sales training call and doesn't cost you anything, so long as the salesperson knows that they should be learning. And this is the program. 15 million companies in the United States, there's only 1,000 of them that do sales training. The rest of them do it in the field, and it works beautifully. And you can, too. Last but not least, if you learn about your customer and about the application of your product face-to-face with a customer, you can learn about selling skills the same way. Let me show you how. So the application and your product and your customers are unique to you. The selling skills are common the world around. Here's what they look like. Salespeople make and set pre-call objectives. You call it goal setting. You call it a self-fulfilling prophecy. And as a sales manager, you only have to learn one question. What are we going in here for? You learn that question, you're a great sales manager. You keep your mouth shut. What are we going in here for? And then bite your tongue. Okay? Now, you can make survey calls to go in and find out what's going on. If more than 10% of your calls are survey calls, then you really should be paid by market research. Okay? The salesperson has an objective. They go for something. They set a goal. Otherwise, they're just a well-paid tourist. So, and the best salespeople set the best goals. So I say to the best salesperson, what are we going in here for? You say, you get a 22-case order. For what? Product XYZ. At how much? $7.60 a case. We're going to have to come down 6% for this son of a gun, but there's no other way I can do it. And we go in, and it's like a three-act play that he wrote. He knows so much about this customer. He knows what he's going after. So 90% of the time when I work with the best salespeople, even more than that actually, and I ask what we're going for, they tell me, and that's what they get. Because they know so much about what's going on. They're experts in their customer's business. They know more about their customer. Customer knows himself. They know politically. They know psychologically. They know the children. They know the dog. They know everything. Because that's what they focus on. Okay, next. How do you focus? With a written strategy. And I'll show you how to do that in just a second. But writing is the offline memory device of the human brain. The reason you take notes is not so you remember something, so you can forget it. So when you write it down, you can forget it. So the offline memory device of the human brain is notes. Okay, we all learn that in college. And you can put them on your Palm Pilot now and have techie notes. But that's okay, it's the same thing. It's a way of erasing your brain. All right, now, the other thing that's very important is that after you make a sales call, you say to yourself, what on earth went right? Now, human nature says, when they said this, I should have said that. Okay, we all go through that. But the real question is, what worked? What worked for me? What did I say? And what were the words? And can I use them again? So, for example, I got a call one day, a gentleman, vice president of sales. He said, I read your article in the Wall Street Journal. He says, we're just a little $50 million company, probably can't afford somebody like you. I thought, $50 million, I could use some of that. So he said, what kind of thing do you do? And I told him, I said, I go out and I work in the field for a day with the salespeople, then go out and do your meeting. So he got interested. So finally we got to this point where he said, what's this going to cost me? I said, it's $7,800 in first-class air transportation. And he said, first-class air? Like, what right have you got to fly in the front of an airplane? So I said to them, trying to lighten it up a little bit, well, do you have a corporate aircraft you could send? He didn't laugh. There was a pause, and he said, the chairman schedules the corporate aircraft. I'll have to call you back. I had one, all right? It was beautiful. I didn't write it. I was just trying to be quick, but there it was. But I couldn't say it with a straight face. So I went in the bathroom. I stood in front of the mirror. It took me 20 minutes before I could say, do you have a corporate aircraft you can send? Without laughing. All right? Now, 90% of the time, when somebody questions the first class air, I use that line and it diffuses it. So you're welcome to use that, but it works for me and I'm very comfortable with it. But when something works, you got to use it again and again. A little bit earlier in the presentation, I said, what are some of the things that are preventing you from playing tennis in this room? No opponent, no tennis balls, no court. And I turned to Kathy and I said, and she doesn't want to learn how to play tennis. And you laughed. And she looked at me because she said nothing. But about 6 years ago, somebody used that line and I said, wow, I wrote a great line. And so I've used it ever since. My apologies. All right. So that's show business, but still the idea is what works. You become a student of it, use it over and over again. Now, they're different for each of us. I'm down in Atlanta working with this young lady who probably is making $250,000 a year. We're driving along and the cell phone rings. She picks up the cell phone. She goes, hey. All right. All day long, the phone rings. She picks up, hey. So I'm thinking, maybe I should talk to her a little bit about, you know, telephone manners and how to handle voicemail and stuff and so on. But then I remember how much money she's making, and these people love her. And then I come to find out, in Atlanta, the way you say hello is, hey. I didn't know that, all right? So the idea is that there's ethnic and regional things that work for different people in different areas of the country, in different businesses. You cannot share third-party testimony in the chemical industry. You can't even tell people who you're calling on. It's very secretive. So there's all kinds of little nuances, but the basics are the same all the way around. So you want to be a student of what works for you. All right, let me tie this together now and show you the selling process. And there's basically just three questions that have to be answered in every selling situation, be it political, consumer packaged goods, industrial, software, whatever, same thing. And this should be a written strategy, and I'll show you how that goes together. First question is, why should I listen to this person? So I wrote out a very careful introduction for Paul this morning so you could have an idea of why you should listen to me. And then we printed it in the brochure, and then I explained to you what I was all about. All right, what's in it for me? The IBM 2-year sales training program in under 20 minutes, we're almost there. That's what you're going to get. The launch of a new company in about 3.5-4 minutes, okay? And some great freebies that go along with it. So that's why you should listen to me. But every salesperson has to have this same thing. What's the benefit to you? How much do you know about your customers? We found out a little bit about our customers because we did ask them what they were looking for. So I have some idea of how to tune benefits. And then last but not least, why should I do something now? Well, the answer for this morning is this is launch day. Nobody else is going to get a chance like this. And besides, the product we're selling is free forever. Free forever. Can you believe this one? I can't. This whole internet thing is wacky. But that's what the product it's going to be. It's going to be this kind of stuff, sales training ideas and tips, free. Every single day, forever. That's the deal you guys get this morning. And we'll show you how to do it. All it requires is going to be an email address, but we'll go into that in just a minute. So that's the why buy now. Why buy now in everybody else's business is time-based, all right? Kathy's into her busy season right now, flags and signs, okay? You can't buy now. I mean, I needed flags for all these tables. Kathy said, sorry, Jack, it's a busy season, all right? You should have talked to me, you know, in January, you know? So there's always a time-based thing. Sale ends Thursday. Can't they run until Friday? Why does the sale end Thursday? Because they want to put pressure on you. All right? So, therefore, last bite. By the way, There is a component in our program that will cost some money. Otherwise, we'd have to be a charity, or we'd have to be Amazon.com like Jeff Bezos and lose money forever, and I don't intend to do that. In fact, I don't intend to lose any money ever. At any rate, there is a component in here that you have to purchase. So what we're doing is we're making it available on a special purchase for the very first time, and we'll grandfather in this test price forever. So that's not a bad deal. That's a why buy now. May or may not work. This is a test. We're going to find out. Okay. So one of the reasons you do test marketing and you test things is to find out who will buy what. Because you can't test with questionnaires and focus groups and so on. You got to say, can you write a check for that? Can you give us a $50 bill? That's the kind of stuff you got to be able to say. Those are the closing questions. Okay, now let me tie all this together. Go back to that 3x5 index card. Turn it over from where you wrote on it. And I want you to draw two lines across it, dividing it into how many parts? Three. Still a sharp audience, Tony. I told you I'd keep them with me for 40 minutes no matter what. This is a summary of the entire course, okay? So the card you got should look something like this when you get done doctoring it up. This will be a pre-call planner. You use this card or something similar in your writing folder or on your Palm Pilot. And you can either take the card and put it up in the corner of your writing folder. You can put it in your record aid. This is a manual Palm Pilot. No batteries. Okay, so on this is, what are you going after for the call? First thing, if this call is successful, what am I going after? So this is how you keep your focus. You put your pre-call objective in writing right up front. Then you want to answer the three basic questions for all customers. Why listen? What's in it for me? And why should I buy now? And what you do there is you go to the middle question first, the what's in it for me's. And you try and figure out what the most important things are. You list three what's in it for me's. Then you pick the strongest what's in it for me, and you make that the answer to the why listen. The Wall Street Journal taught me this. I would write a piece for them, and they say, wouldn't the third paragraph work better as the first paragraph? I would say, gee, you know, nobody will understand it. And they would say, get rid of the first two, move it up, trust us. All right, it's called a hard lead. You start with your strongest point. I gave you the 15 magic words in selling before we started. That was the hard lead. This is all an expansion on that. So you lead with your strongest point because you want to answer the why listen. And then you can expand on it. You can go into question and answers. You can build on it. You can do all kinds of things, but tell them everything up front. And if something's wrong up front, you know, hit the road. Keep moving. Right? Or if you think you can turn it around, fine, but that's a judgment call. And then last but not least, it's very, very important. You have a list of questions. So we talked about questioning skills. You should be able to go through a whole presentation without a single declaratory sentence. It's hard to do, but it can be done. All right? Can you tell me more about that? What kind of business is this? How much are you paying now? Do we have a chance to bid on that contract, or is that gone forever? What do you think of this thing so far? All right, and you actually can do that for about 10 or 15 minutes without being offensive to people. I've seen it done. I can't do it myself. I can come close. But I saw it done by this young lady in New York City for a whole day. At 4:30 in the afternoon, she was still going along. Tell me a little more about this design. It was absolutely miraculous. And because she'd been trained to do this. I asked her, I said, how did you learn to sell this way? She said, I went to Smith College, and during the summer, I was hired by Western Publishing to sell Bibles door to door. And she said, my sales manager said, you're a physician. Don't prescribe medicine until you find out where it hurts. And she constantly kept asking the same questions over and over again. And it was awesome to watch. Okay, that summarizes it. You got the magic words. Now, what we've done, does anybody have any questions on how this thing comes together? Come ahead.
Have you ever heard of the Vanderbilt
technique? Sure. This is Socratic.
Okay.
He's older.
Yeah. I just thought
I'd ask. I read that change the way I can decide. Okay. The questioning technique is what you're comfortable with. So, for example, in the very beginning here, I said, I'd like you to participate, and I'd like you to tell me some of the things you'd want to get out of this presentation. And you notice, well, there wasn't a pause because these two hands went up immediately. But very often the audience is reluctant to ask the first question. So when I ask that, I normally then begin to count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. I've never gotten to 4. 3 seconds is an eternity if you keep your mouth shut. and it puts a lot of pressure the other way. So getting the other person to talk. You play a game called Secret Agent. Hugh knows how to do this, all right? You tell them nothing, and you find out everything, okay? And so that's the best salespeople gather information, and they give out very little. Best-selling book I've run across recently, Selling Made Simple with Steve Sullivan. There's thousands of these things. For some reason or other, Steve is the same. Paul says we tend to agree. Steve is at, I guess he's in Connecticut, 353-5786, and I'll leave the number on up here. I don't sell it. I mean, it's his. I don't get anything for it. Tony says I can't sell anything. Ah, you got to be kidding, Tony. So, there's a whole bunch of different ways of doing it. The basics of my material comes from Jack Lacey with the hot-button selling system that he came up with in the 1930s, and the real master of this was John Patterson at National Cash Register in the 1890s. So I have the cash registers, the cashes system from the 1890s, and then Patterson fired this guy, and he was livid. He was his sales manager, and he went to work for a company called Tabulating Systems. And as soon as he got control of that company, he wanted to change the name to compete with NCR. So they were National Cash Register. He became International Business Machine. That was Watson Sr. So he just stuck it to him with IBM. Also, the motto for NCR was Think, and Watson just took it with him. And all the white shirts, that was Patterson's idea. When Gessner went to blue, he didn't know that he was destroying 100 years of professionalism. He was that stupid. But he's from McKinsey. Anybody here from McKinsey? I'm sorry. Be careful. This tape isn't going to work, Steve, I can tell you right now. There's a full bunch of... Any other questions? Any other questions or comments? Okay. Let me summarize and tell you what we're doing with makingthenumbers.com. Underneath your plates here, you have a little handout that explains it. But here's what it is. We're launching, as of this morning, a new .com. And what we're going to do is provide a sales training tip every single day, sent to you by email, so it'll show up formatted for your Palm Pilot, for your cell phone screen, or for your pager, or just your PC. So all you do is register email, and you get it free, for nothing, forever. All we have to do is get your email address, and it'll come out to you. Now, that's going to start. The lights will go on the 4th of July. So we're running it up the pole on Flag Day, and then we're going off on the 4th of July. Now, as you notice, there's a sales management component in there. The idea is that we're going to train everybody's Salesforce for free forever, no matter what. No obligations one way or the other. But if you want it to complement a sales training system for your managers, we'll put that together for you as well. But that'll cost you a subscription fee. And so that's what we're going to do. So we train everybody's Salesforce for free, forever, for nothing. And if you want to take advantage of the sales management portion, that's a subscription fee of $50 per manager per month. And what happens is that the manager then gets the sales training material a day early, along with all of the behaviors that the manager should use to reinforce what we're going to tell your salespeople to do the following day. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.